Hi, this is Kirk Biglioni reporting for BookSquare.com. The BookSquare lady, otherwise known as Cassia, has asked me to make a special announcement today. And in addition to that, I've also got a fascinating interview with first-time author Gary Vaynerchuk about his use of social media as a tool for author and book promotion. Gary actually is the author of a wine book, 101 Wines Guaranteed to Inspire, Delight, and Bring Thunder to Your World. So it's appropriate that we have Gary on the show today because there are two things that are really important around the BookSquare headquarters, wine and books. And so we'll have a little bit of that, both of those things, as well as a discussion on how Gary uses social media to promote his book. But first, that announcement. Over the years, if you've been reading BookSquare, you know that Cassia has written quite a bit about the importance of online marketing for authors. And more recently, she's been writing about the increasing importance of social media as a tool for promoting yourself and your book. And not just social networks like MySpace and Facebook, but the whole range of social media tools like podcasts and video and Twitter. Social media is a huge topic, and there are, you know, every day there's something, some new social media thing that you can use. How do you keep track of all of these things? Based on the reaction that Cassia's posts have received, we know that there is interest on the part of authors who want to learn more about how to use social media, what social media is, how it works. And as a result of this feedback, we're putting together a special project we're calling BookSquare University. BookSquare University will be an online learning environment. We'll be using multimedia and online community to deliver something that roughly approximates a real-world conference or workshop. And the goal of BookSquare University will be to help authors get up to speed quickly on the latest in social media and other online promotional opportunities. We'll demystify all of the terminology, explain what all of these new things like Twitter are and how you can use them. And more importantly, we're going to help authors make efficient use of their time when they're using these tools, as well as determining which of these tools are appropriate. This is not a one-size-fits-all sort of situation. Not every one of these social media things will be right for every author. So BookSquare University will help you sort out the options and figure out which ones make the most sense for you. So BookSquare University is currently in the works, and as you can imagine, it's quite a bit of work, actually. So we're hoping to launch later this summer. And in the meantime, if you want to keep posted on the status of BookSquare University, the best way to do that is to go to BookSquareUniversity.com, one word, BookSquareUniversity.com, and there's a form there. You can sign up for the mailing list. And if you sign up for the mailing list, you'll be the first to know when we're ready to announce the workshop. And so all of that leads me to this interview I have today with Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary is a first-time author, as I mentioned. His book debuted on the Amazon list the first day in the top 30. And that was entirely on the strength of his online activity. Gary has made extensive use of social media to build his brand, and he has unique insight into how all of the pieces fit together. So if you're an author and you have any interest in using social media, and you should, Gary has a lot to offer, and I think you'll learn quite a bit from this interview. And if you want to learn more about Gary Vaynerchuk, I encourage you to check out his website, winelibrarytv.com. And without any further delay, here's my interview with Gary Vaynerchuk. How did the book come about? Was this always part of your master plan, or was this something that just evolved out of your other media activities? Did you always want to be an author?
I think, I don't think I ever really saw myself as an author. One, I wouldn't say that I'm the number one writer of all time. Number two, I'm very much a new media guy, right? And, you know, I think television's in deep trouble. Imagine what I think of print, right? So, but what ended up happening was I was approached quite a bit, and then I started realizing, you know, I'm the classic example of somebody who might think too far ahead. Do you know what I mean,
Kirk? Right.
I'm thinking reality. You know, I'm thinking in the reality of the world 7 years from now. But until that happens, there's still a lot of things to be done. And I think that that's ultimately what, you know, got me excited about writing a book, more so on the mission of what makes me happy, which is that I want to change the wine world in America. And I'm not so sold or sure that there's that many people ready to watch an internet show only available online. And I knew there would be an enormous amount of demo, a big amount of people out there that would more likely pick up a book and read about this movement than go out and watch a show for 30 minutes every day. And so that became the book became a vehicle for me to reach people that I didn't feel I was going to be capable of reaching any other way.
And presumably some of those people will be brought in to watch your show online.
Absolutely. You know, a book is like, you know, any other piece of content. It's an extension to allow you have the ability to build your brand. I mean, there's people like Tim Ferriss, who's a good friend of mine, who are whatever level of fame they are, whether they're an A-list or a Z-list or a quadruple Z-list like me, whatever it is, his whole fame is based around a book. So a book can bring enormous branding and brand building and opportunities to the game. And I think that is it's definitely another vehicle for me to get more viewers, but more importantly, another vehicle for me to shoot out and spew my venom on the wine world and changing the thought process. And so that's probably what excites me the most.
There's a certain advantage to starting the way you did, by building your brand before ever thinking about writing a book.
Yeah, sure. Building clientele. I had people who were going to buy the book before the book became available. And so, you know, that's how I look at all business, to be honest with you. I mean, before I ever bought my first ad in the Wine Spectator or the New York Times to promote this new store that was Wine Library, which formerly we called in my family business Shoppers Discount Liquors, I spent about 2 years building it. And I feel like you've got to have the right product before you come to market. And so anybody who's an author, my biggest recommendation is the 6 months leading up to your book coming out is where all your marketing, PR, shaking hands, kissing babies, writing blog posts, contributing to other websites, all that hoopla that you have to do to build brand integrity and awareness and excitement needs to happen a good 6 months to a year before your book comes out.
Well, and arguably it's an ongoing process.
Not arguably, you're 100% right.
Yeah, it's not so much promoting the book as promoting yourself, because there's going to be a second book and a third book.
Oh my God, the entire game is building your personal brand. I mean, we're in the fundamental gold rush of personal brand building, because there's a zero cost of entry. There's no barrier to, you know, before you had to be discovered by an agent and then they would put you in a platform that would allow you to be discovered. Now you can put yourself in the game because of what's going on with all the social websites out there. And to me, that is by far the most exciting thing going on.
So you talk sometimes in revolutionary terms about trying to change the wine world. Do you think you might have some impact on the publishing world?
I think a heck of a lot of people were surprised that the day I announced the book on Wine Library TV that it was number 30, you know, 6 or 29 on Amazon.
That gets back to that following you have.
Sure. I mean, that caught my publishers off guard. That caught my book agent off guard. I mean, I kept saying it, but they're like, you know. I was like, you'll see. And all by myself, using Twitter and using my website and using Facebook, I propelled my book to number 29. And by the way, one thing that's overlooked is I was in the air for 6 hours flying to San Francisco that day. So I didn't have time to promote as much as maybe I could have.
So you weren't actively working the phones on launch day?
Correct.
Or working the Twitter?
I announced it on the I wasn't working Twitter until I landed and realized my phone was blowing up because people were saying that the book was already at number 200. And that meant that I had a lot of momentum, which meant I had to really attack to get, you know, to piggyback off the momentum. And so, yeah, absolutely. You know, the fact of the matter is that there's a totally, I mean, I feel you get much more value out of Twitter, Facebook, Pounce, and websites of this nature than you do out of platforms like the New York Times or Time Out New York or Daily News.
Well, the coverage in those platforms is limited. It's here and then it's gone.
Yep. Doesn't live forever and it can't be transported.
So I'm glad you brought up those specific social media tools that you've been using. Can you talk a little bit more about the ones you use and how you use them and, mm-hmm. and how you've used them to build your relationship with your audience?
What people don't want to do or hear from me is how much work it takes. You know, yesterday on Memorial Day, I sat in my living room for 3 hours and answered any question anybody had that they posed through a website called Seismic, S-E-E-S-M-I-C, which is a new site that I've been kind of getting hot on. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's a cool concept.
Yeah, it's a pretty good site. I did some really cool stuff with it last night. Basically, I just went in there and said, quick little click, and said, who wants to ask me any kind of question, and I'll answer it. And of course, you know, people just came in and started on video, asked me questions, and I replied on video. So it was a lot of fun. Anyway, that is just a microcosm of what it takes. Using the tools, everybody can figure that out. Everybody knows what to do with Twitter. You type something in. You know, everybody knows what you do on Facebook. You friend people and you leave messages on walls. Everybody knows what to do with Seismic. You can tape a video. What I don't think people understand is you have to give value. It's about giving. The whole process is about giving. No matter what kind of book you're writing, you need to give out as much free content as you possibly can. And that means going out there and, you know, yesterday I was answering questions for people that I normally charge $2,000 an hour for in consulting, you know, but I was just answering them freely because that's just part of the process. And I think I refer to it as, what I would think your author should think of it as is when they go to Price Club and they're giving away free samples of the hot dogs or the cornbread or the lemonade, you know, though they don't do that because they're Mother Teresa or from the goodness of their heart. They do that because they know it induces interaction, which in their world is you taste a little cornbread sample and you buy two packets. That's what I feel you need to do in the social media. You need to give away stuff because when you're good, you win, and people come back and appreciate your efforts, and that's what it's all about.
And you talked about how time-consuming this can be. You know, everyone has not only their writing they're working on, but their families and presumably jobs and a life.
Yep.
How do you balance the time? How do you prioritize?
You prioritize what you want to accomplish. The end. Meaning, you cut out anything that you find to be not rewarding. So if you find yourself watching TV 6 hours a week and you feel you can cut it to 3 hours, you just found 3 hours of giving to your community. But for anybody to understand what's going on, it is an absolute no secret. It takes enormous amounts of work and time. And I'm talking about, in my world, 6 to 7 hours a day on average is devoted to my community. Now, that means some days are zero and other days are 14 hours a day. It's all about giving back and being part of the community. And so, you know, it's imperative for people to understand it's what you give into it. So you can write the greatest book of all time, but if you do not have an emotional attachment with a fan base, your book is not going to do well unless you spend enormous marketing dollars and are fortunate enough to get enormous media coverage. The end. And so to me, the fact matters, it's like the good old adage, what you put in is what you get. The more you put in, the more likely you're going to get back. Now, everybody has different personalities, right? And so you've got to play to your strengths. My strength is to interact, and I'm very quick and witty, and I can be with people, and I love to interact. Some people are more shy. That's fine. Then maybe you need to blog post every day, and you don't want people to see you. That's fine. I mean, you have to really understand what your strengths are, and you need to execute them against that. But if your strength is not to do anything besides write the book, and then you don't want to do anything else, well, then you're going to get the, you know, results that you're deserving. And the ones that you complain about your publisher and your PR person, what you need to do is look at yourself first. And it's really about, you know, the way I went into this book was I was not going to rely on anybody but myself.
I think that's someone who's, you know, for you is pretty reliable. You can look at what you've done for yourself, and obviously it's been quite successful. And the comment you make about authors complaining about their publicist or their publishers not doing anything for them is very true. I think a lot of people sit back and say, okay, I wrote the book, now I'm waiting for it to happen.
You go do it. That's right. And they don't want to do book tours, or they complain about having to do a tour. I mean, if you're not interested in interacting with people, you're not going to win. You just need to understand that right away. You can be very happy. And listen, when I say win, in my world, winning is selling a boatload of books and being successful and sitting on interviews with you because I've been able to do that, right? In somebody else's world, they might just love the fact that they had a published book and they're very excited about that. And that's winning to them. So really, you know, it all really does go back directly to what are you looking to accomplish in your world. If you're looking to sell a lot of books, it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of interaction.
You brought up another point I want to get into just briefly here. You mentioned all of the different tools that you work with and how some of them aren't right for everyone. I mean, someone who is, you know, not very quick is probably not going to do well on Twitter. Someone who is, you know, not photogenic and doesn't like talking isn't going to be doing web video. Is there some form of social media that you're not doing? Because it seems like you're doing it, everything. What have you found is not worth your effort or your time?
Ironically, writing blog posts. They're just not my wheelhouse. I'm just a much better talker than I am a writer. And so I've already gone through my frustration, which was 2002 through 2004, when it was really a blogging world and not a video and audio world. So that I've already been down that road. You know, I'm lucky. Technology has caught up and now allows me to kind of have, you know, so now everything going forward is much more up my alley, live streaming, you know?
You just needed the bandwidth to be you.
Correct. The end. So I've been fortunate. I've the world is heading in the Gary Vaynerchuk direction.
Good for you.
But, you know, very good for me. I mean, listen, you need a little luck, right? If I was born two generations ago, it would have been harder. The end. And so it's just a matter of understanding your strengths and your weaknesses and being very real with yourself and being real and upfront with your publisher very quickly. Saying, listen, I don't feel like I'm very good at book signings or this, that, and the other thing. Where can we spend our time, money, and energy elsewhere? And so I'm very big on understanding where you know, what's going on and how to approach it and how to attack it. Because I think, you know, when you start lying to yourself about what you can or can't do, you start getting caught very quickly because it's very hard when it feels like work.
Well, and there are so many different opportunities and different modalities in new media that it really, there is not a one-size-fits-all answer, but there are enough opportunities for people to find the things that do work that they could put together a strategy that would be right for them.
You are preaching to the choir, my friend. And most of these people are writers, right? I mean, so the fact of the matter is that if at nothing else, if you are blogging, you're doing damage. And the other thing I would recommend, I'll give you a really great trick. Figure out what your niche is, your area, and go out and ask to guest blog. Because you can go and get bigger platforms from other people, and there's a lot of people who are dying for content because they're too busy, and you hit them up and say, hey, can I guest blog? And they're thrilled. As a matter of fact, that just hit me so hard as I'm talking to you. While I'm talking to you right now, I'm going to my Twitter right now and saying, who would like me to guest video blog? And I'm going to do that right this second because this is how I have to work.
Multitasking.
Because otherwise, I'll forget. And exactly.
And you've been Twittering your book release for questions similar to that I've been seeing come across on your profile.
Very heavily.
What kind of response have you got?
Very good. And I'll tell you why I've been doing that, because I'm feeling the wave is now coming down, right? I was away for a week. The launch happened. I got all my television. People who loved me have already bought it. So now I need a secondary push. So now I have to go play in different, what I call different neighborhoods, right? You've been in your neighborhood and you've beaten them all. You've played basketball and you've won all those pickup games. It's time for you to go into different neighborhoods and see what other challenges are out there. And so for me, the challenge now is to get involved with other bloggers that are willing to review my book and just find new audiences for me.
Also wanted to ask you about how you monitor conversations that are going on online and if you actively monitor for wine conversations.
In the beginning, I monitored everything very heavily when I had no user base. And that's how I kind of built myself. I became part of the conversations on the internet about wine. But as I've gotten bigger and my community takes up all my time now, I've now been limited to really monitoring anything that has me involved in it.
So not just wine. You started with the big picture. And as you built your following,
yes,
you've sort of narrowed it down to just you.
I have to, because I'm, you know, I mean, it. I can't answer every email I get every day. So that, you know what I mean?
Right. And so when we say monitoring, you're using Google Alerts or Technorati, or how are you doing that?
Both of those, and both of those are by far the majority. But of course, you know, your WordPress uses Technorati on the back end. When you go into, if you use WordPress, they have a Technorati feed. So I use that more so than just Technorati, even though it's a third party app. You're using it. I'm using Surmise, which is searching everything that mentions Gary Vee on Twitter. So, you know, I'm very into paying attention to what people are saying about me, because if I need to defend myself or explain myself, I want to be there. I don't want to hide from anything.
Right. There's that whole reputation monitoring and protection aspect that people don't think of when they think about, they talk about their search engine placement. They don't ever think about.
I could care less about my search engine placement. Of course, I'm not an idiot, and I understand that if I was the first result for wine, that would be a crap load of traffic. But it is far more important to me to know what people think of me that actually know me or know of me, because that's where you, that's when you know where you're going.
And so the question I was going to ask you was this, I don't know if this is one of those Gary Vaynerchuk myths or not, but someone allegedly who apparently you were not following on Twitter sent a wine question to Twitter about a cork that broke off in a bottle. Do I have a bad bottle of wine? And the story, as I heard it, was that within minutes you were there with a direct Twitter explaining the situation. Is that something you would do?
That is true. That is something I did, yes.
That's full service.
You know, that was a little bit of, that's full service. It was also, you know, it's a little bit of luck. You know, timing is imperative. But yeah, I searched the word wine at that moment, and there was that question. I felt I could help. I felt like I had that 34th of a second to get it in, and I executed against it. You know, you can't lose when you are doing the right thing. And I feel like if I'm servicing the community from good intentions, do I know in the back of my mind that this helps me? Of course. But the same way Oprah does, right? The same way as anybody does. I mean, if you're doing good things, you know, the law of attraction or all those things, they're true because people want to do good for people that have done good for them. And I'm always big on I'll do it first, right? I'm not expecting anything from anybody in return. I think that helps me. I think there's a lot of people within my own family have the gene of if they do something, they think they're owed something big time. I have no expectations for anything in return. So that's probably ultimately my biggest weapon, having no expectations, right? Because I'm never hurt. I'm just always happy about doing the right thing. And so whenever I do something nice and something good happens for me in return, I mean, look at this scenario, right? I did that out of niceness. I wanted to help that person. Here you are telling me that's right. I mean, somebody else talked about it. You're not going to lose when you do the right thing.
So what's next for you? More books? Broadcast TV? Cable? Where do you go from here?
You know, I think all those things are on the table. I think that I don't know. And I think that's pretty funny. I'm very clear on the fact that I'd love to own the New York Jets. You know, I just couldn't tell you exactly how I'm going to do that. But I know that that's my only monetary goal. I don't want to have a helicopter or a boat. I don't need all those things. I want to buy the New York Jets as my big goal. Other than that, everything's very basic, which is the health of my family. And you know, and then that's it. And so I think that it's very clear to me that there's going to be more and more opportunity as long as I keep building my brand and keep doing the right thing and keep working hard. And that's what I plan on doing. And from there, I will basically make decisions that feel right, because that's what I always do. I mean, it's got to feel right. I've had so many television offers already from producers and what have you, and nothing's clicked yet. But maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I wait so long that this internet space catches up. You know, the Apple iTV, you know, I'm so sure that big cable companies and things like TiVo are not far behind to really give a lot more distribution to the main video bloggers out there.
Right, right. As we mentioned earlier with the decline of newspaper circulation, same thing's happening to TV, as you know. It's becoming a long tail world. And yeah, as you're saying, your show is a show, and you'll have the distribution to reach the audience you would if you were on cable soon. So it's just a matter of time.
That is correct. It is just a matter of time. And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think the really big thing that I've got going for me, which is very ironic, most people who know me very, very well realize I have this. Most people who don't know me very, very well and look at me from afar are actually completely shocked by this. I come with enormous amounts of patience. And I think that surprises a lot of people. You know, I'm very hungry and very, go, go, go. But on a global scale, I'm loaded with patience.
It's sort of surprising. you're so energetic. I don't necessarily associate patience with that quality.
But I think that whether you call it picture, patience, or you call it the big picture, whatever you want to call it, you know, I've gotten lucky again genetically to have it, because it really helps me, because I think that is really the secret to a lot of people.
I think your ultimate goal is probably not far off base. I almost expect that it will happen for you because it happened for Mark Cuban. And if it could happen for Mark Cuban, I think it'll happen for you. I just have this feeling.
Well, I appreciate that.
Which sort of leads to my last question that I was going to ask you here. It's a hypothetical, but hopefully not too hypothetical. It's a wine question.
Okay.
Jets win the Super Bowl. What are you drinking?
Oh, boy. You know what? I honestly can tell you that if the New York Jets win the Super Bowl, I think I'm going to be unconscious from excitement. And I probably will be drinking water because whoever's next to me is going to be trying to revive me. You know, I'll be very honest with you. I don't have a desert island wine or a Jets Super Bowl wine. I think the last thing on my mind is going to be what I'm drinking. It's going to be more about kissing my brother and my wife and my family and just being elated. But I have to admit, as things are progressing, I'm becoming more and more curious about maybe the Jets not winning a Super Bowl and allowing me to buy the team and become the guy who brings a Super Bowl to the Jets. So it's been weird. There's been a quiet shift over the last 24 months of maybe I'm not that hungry for a Jets Super Bowl right this minute. So, you know, I want to answer truthfully, and to be honest with you, that's going to be the last thing that I'm worried about at that moment.
So, in summary, it could be an event that's too big for wine.
It's going to be an event. It's going to be an event that's going to be exclusive for family, because I think everybody in my close family, you know, are such big Jet fans now too. You know, I think there's going to be. I'll probably be drinking tears. That's how hard I'll be crying. I am a big Jets fan, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, got that.
I don't. You know, I think people see the Jets memorabilia and the bucket.
It's not a shtick.
I don't think they understand.
It's real.
Yeah, it's 24/7, 365. It's, you know, the draft, the off season, going to training camp, reading about them every day, even when there's nothing to talk about it. I haven't missed a play in 17 years. A physical play. I have seen every one of them for 17 years.
Wow.
So I'm very hardcore. I have nightmares about missing Jet plays. Like, when the season starts, every year, this is money in the bank, I will dream in August and September at least a couple of times that I overslept or scheduled something or got tricked into somehow missing a couple of plays of a game.
Now, you're not going to be one of those owners who micromanages, are you?
You know, that's it's a tremendous question because I'm so not when it comes to my business world. It's how I was able to grow my wine business and everything. I just don't know if the Jets are going to be so personal. I don't know, you know? It's so personal. You know, it's different than anything else. As much as I love wine, which is beyond belief, I don't love any specific wine. I love the global aspect of wine. The Jets is a totally different story, so who knows? You know what? I'll be very blessed if that happens, and I'll be very happy one way or the other. Listen, you know what? One thing I would tell everybody who's reading this is they've got to keep everything very basic. The first thing they have to do when they outline their plan to write a book is what are they capable of? And once they understand what they're capable of, they have to do it at 110% for the 6 months before and 6 months after. And then, of course, forever. But in reference to the book, that needs to be the game plan.
Well, Gary, I know you probably have other interviews scheduled.
Yes, I have one coming up right now. So,
thanks a lot. Thanks so much.
I'm glad.
And
my pleasure.
Again, best of luck
well.
With your book.
Thanks so much.
That's going to wrap it up for my interview with Gary Vaynerchuk. Once again, his book is titled 101 Wines Guaranteed to Inspire, Delight, and Bring Thunder to Your World. You can also watch his show at winelibrarytv.com. And as I said, we've got more of these interviews coming up throughout the summer on booksquare.com. And if you're interested in Booksquare University, go to booksquareuniversity.com and sign up for the mailing list. And until next time, thanks for listening.